Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome once again to another edition of WrestleChat Radio's AEW NXT Report. Marcus Kane coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York. And for the next hour, we will be discussing both AEW and their go-home show to this Saturday's Double or Nothing pay-per-view, and of course NXT at 347-215-8486, 347-215-8486. 5-8-4-8-6. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, of course, you can hit us up in the chat room and we can take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there as well. Before we get started, folks, I posted this on the Facebook page, but I think it's worth mentioning that there's an old saying that says life is a game that nobody wins, because in the end, we all lose, right? In the end, we all suffer the same fate. There's no winning. Well, I would like to say that if your last act on the face of this earth to direct the people who have you safely in their arms to leave you, to go instead and save your 10-year-old son, and you end up perishing due to that act, I think you won. I actually think you won. So, Shad Gaspard, you won. A horrible situation. But in times of horrible situations and in times of great stress and danger is the merit of a man. And when the merit of a man says, leave me and go get my son. And that's exactly what happened. His son is safe and his son is well, because he made a decision that his life was not as important as that of his son's. And we use the word in professional wrestling a tremendous amount. We use the word hero because professional wrestling is a business that creates heroes. Most of the time, they're fictional heroes doing fictional deeds of heroic proportion. This time, professional wrestling didn't create a hero. This time, a hero happened to be a professional wrestler. This was a horrible story, Mike, and the more we hear about it, the more tragic it is.
Right, and look, it makes it even... I don't want to say it makes it even better, but, I mean, look, you know what's coming probably tonight. If not tonight, then on Monday, that the WWE is going to put something at the beginning of the show, you know, to memorialize it. It would be, I don't want to say it would be stupid not to do it, but, yes, this guy did what he had to do. Yeah, and that's a real hero. He could still be alive and probably maybe on his way to the WWE. I don't know.
Yeah, that's what the rumor was. The rumor was very strong that Crime Time was coming back to take on the Street Profits. They were close, from what I hear. They were close. And you're right. This is an actual hero that too often in society we don't get to see. And again, the measure of a person does not come from talk. The measure of a person does not come for this is what I would do. This is what I will do. The measure of a person comes from what they actually do in the face of not only danger, but almost certain death. And I would argue that it takes a very, very strong and a very, very courageous person to know they're safe and to say, let me go. It's an amazing story. It's an amazing story. And his son will grow up knowing one thing. His father willingly and gladly sacrificed his life so he can be here. And I don't think you can love anybody more than that. And I really don't think you could be any braver than that. And it really pales no matter what they do tonight. And they will do something. But no matter what they do, it will not outshine that one act. Because nothing can. Anyway, we have some more information on Sami Zayn. And apparently the rules of if you don't want to show up during this COVID crisis, there will be no ramifications on your push or the way you're treated. Does not apply if your name is Sami Zayn. Now, the WWE flat out lied and said Sami Zayn is injured. Sami Zayn is not injured. He had some teeth removed or something, but that was a month ago. Sami Zayn has made a decision. He does not want to come wrestle during this pandemic. And look, I don't know what's right and wrong here. I don't know what's right and wrong. Everybody's got to decide for themselves. I would say this. If you have no other underlying health issues and you're seeing wrestlers week after week after week after week wrestle and nothing's happening, might be time to get back, right? But Sami Zayn wants to set it out, and he's going to suffer the ramifications of it. They stripped him of the belt, as we obviously know, and there's rumors backstage that he may not be long for the WWE. We'll see what ends up happening. And in some unrelated news, there was some murmurings that we may see Drew Gulak make an AEW debut at Double or Nothing because he has no compete. His contract ran out. He did not resign. There is no compete clause. He can show up and he can wrestle. And he very well might. We'll see what ends up happening there. So anyway, let's get on to the AEW and NXT, and I got to tell you that both shows this week I thought were outstanding. I really did. It's going to be very hard for me to decide who really won as far as what I think is the better show, because I think they were both almost equally good in different ways. However, AEW paid a big price for this go-home show to this Saturday's Double or Nothing because there's no less than three and perhaps four injuries came out of one show. One. Now, Matt from the Young Bucks apparently maybe cracked or broke a rib. They're not sure which. He said he will still make it to Double or Nothing. Maybe he'll do very minimal stuff. Maybe he'll do nothing. Whatever. He said he's going to make it. Rey Fénix, as if you watched the show, crashed and burned. I don't know why he crashed and burned, because there's a group of people there waiting to catch him. A group of people waiting to catch him. And there's no fans in the audience, so you can't say, well, I didn't hear, or I was distracted, or this, that, or the other thing. And to be honest with you, yeah, he didn't get any elevation. I mean, he didn't get any width on his jump, but so what? Then you run in to catch him. You don't let him crash and burn. He crashed and burned while six, seven, eight people stood around there. I mean, I don't understand that. I don't understand it. Now, the reports on Rey Fénix is he's banged up, but he's going to be there. Not so lucky is Dr. Britt Baker, who preliminary reports say probably tore her ACL and you're looking at a year. There goes the women's division. There it goes. Kiss it goodbye. And this is what I was trying to say about so long ago. I said, there has to be. We understand that wrestling, if it's done correctly, you could probably do the move to an 8-year-old. And as long as the 8-year-old knew how to take the move, if you were 350 pounds, they wouldn't get hurt. But that's the ideal situation. But wrestling never is an ideal situation. There's always fatigue factors, other factors, and you know at some point you're going to get potatoed, you're going to get hit hard, you're going to get landed on wrong. You know it's coming. You know if you're a professional wrestler, it's only a matter of time until somebody knees me in the gut when they try to do the flip moonsault. Somebody does this. Somebody hits me with too much body weight. I land wrong. I don't get full elevation on something, and whatever it happens to be. And when that happens, and one person is 120 pounds and the other one is 300 pounds, and I don't care if it's male or female, you have a problem. And that's why I said, and I got so many people mad at me, that if you're going to be 190 pounds or 180 pounds, maybe you shouldn't be fighting 300-pound people. Just a thought. Because at the end of the day, it's not about, well, we can, you know, this is all practiced and we know how to do it and it's not going to matter. It does matter, because when you crash and burn and something bad happens, the person who's the lightweight gets it. Now, let's say the 300-pound person got landed on by the 190-pound person. Probably nothing major happens. But here we go with yet another one. And I mean, and this, I know people are going to say, oh, you're Nyla Rose, you're saying, is a man, so he shouldn't be wrestling. I'm not saying that at all. My own personal opinion on it doesn't matter. What matters is, the difference in body weight is too wide to risk that sort of a move and that kind of an injury. It's the same way with Nia Jax and Kairi Sane. If Nia Jax is supposed to go up and do a butt bomb from the second rope on Kairi Sane, and she does it correctly, everything's fine. She wouldn't burst a balloon. But say her knee gives out. Let's say her knee gives out. How many broken ribs do you think Kairi Sane's going to have? Maybe it's going to crush her chest cavity. Maybe it's going to kill her. Now reverse it. Kairi Sane goes to do a butt bomb on Nia Jax, and her knee gives out. Maybe Nia Jax has a black and blue. Maybe it knocks the wind out of her. That's about it. And that's why I'm saying, if you're going to have weight divisions, cruiserweight divisions and everything else, you should stick to them. And for a women's wrestling in particular, if you're going to have that big a difference in weight, then you shouldn't be doing any high-risk moves that a fuck-up could cause serious bodily injury. You just can't. Because now you have basically taken what was easily the best women's character you have, and you put her on the shelf for a year, and you got no backup. Because everybody else who's coming through here who say, oh, they're pretty good, they're pretty good, they do not have the pull power, the charisma of Britt Baker. She had found herself. She had found her gimmick. She was working it well. Fans were digging it. Everything was rosy. And then you had to blow it by letting a 300-pound person crash into them awkwardly. And I know people are going to say, oh, it's just one of those things. It happens in pro wrestling. Yeah, I understand. But that injury shouldn't happen, because anyone that size should not do that move to someone half their size. I wrestled plenty of hardcore matches. And I did some things to people who were my size, which is approximately 260. I did some things to people who were approximately my size I never would have dreamed of doing to somebody who was 180 pounds. Because I knew, well, if I slip or if I miss with this, I'm going to crush their ribs or their whatever. I'm not going to do that. I knew what I could do based on the size of the person. And I respected the fact that if I was in there with a much smaller person, I would lighten my load of things that were potentially extraordinarily hazardous. It's just common sense. Andre the Giant wrestled people who were a third of his size, didn't hurt very many people. And he wasn't exactly the most agile, but he kept his moveset basic because he knew if something bad happens, I'll kill this person. Likewise, Yokozuna. How many times did Yokozuna go to that top rope and do that butt bomb? What do you think would have happened if his knee gave out? He'd have killed whoever. So you got to be very careful. It's not about male and female. It's about common sense. It's about not putting yourself in a position where you say, look, maybe I better not do this to somebody this size. If we all remember the incident where Hulk Hogan claims, I didn't try to injure Richard Belzer. I put him in a hold the same strength I would put any professional wrestler in, and he literally passed out because he's a 130-pound pencil-neck dude, and I'm a 304-pound guy with 26-inch arms. Now, I don't know whether you believe that or not, and you believe that Hogan purposely choked Belzer out because he was making fun of wrestling. I don't know. But if you take Hogan at his word, it just goes to illustrate my point. What these guys figure I can do to somebody my size, if you try that on somebody half your size, they're going to be injured. And now Britt Baker is out. This is really, really bad news, Todd, because she was easily the head of the women's division at this point.
Well, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, I thought Nia Jax was bad hurting people. I guess it looks like Nia Rose is much worse than Nia Jax as for hurting people.
Well, I don't know if it was, I don't know if it was Nyla Rose's fault or the people who threw him on, or I don't know. I haven't watched it that closely, but Mike, this is bad news for AEW.
It really is bad news. And look, you got to ask yourself, think about it. We've seen many a big wrestler, big female wrestlers from Nia Jax to Tamina to even Awesome Kong. How many people has Awesome Kong hurt? How many people has Tamina? We know what Tamina's finisher is. Tamina's finisher is the Superfly Smash, right? The Splash, right? For the most part. How many people has she heard doing that? Not very many.
Not that I know of, no.
And most of the female wrestlers, you have 115, 120, 130 pounds. You have maybe a Charlotte Flair 150 pounds or whatever. But most of them are in that area where they're maybe 60, 70, 80 pounds lighter than her, than Tamina. And this is, I have to say that. And look, we don't see not as bad as a wrestler as we think, or a performer as we think Nia Jax is. We don't see her doing any of those type fine moves.
Right. That is one thing I will give her. She's clumsy and she drops people and she haphazardly throws people. But she doesn't use her body weight as a weapon all that much in moves that you say, well, if she misses, she's gonna kill that person. That she doesn't do. She doesn't do a lot of splashes or flying things off the rope or high impact body weight type stuff. She's very careless about throwing people around. But she doesn't do that. So I don't know. I mean, are the Young Bucks going to be at full strength going into Double or Nothing? I don't know. I know Matt is injured. Ray Phoenix is going to be there. He's used to getting banged around, but somebody better ask the question, could nobody catch me? Could you not see that I didn't get a whole lot of, width on that jump? And somebody give me a little protection? Anybody? And some very serious questions has to be asked about your women's wrestling. And if you want to have 300-pound people in there, 280, 90-pound people in there with 110-pound women. Simple as that. I'm sorry if that sounds sexist or whatever. But I just don't understand how that's sexist. Do you want to see Brock Lesnar in a real UFC fight against a featherweight UFC woman? Do you want to see that? And say, well, whatever, it's equal. No, you don't want to see that. If they put that on, if UFC put that on, you'd say, how dare they? I rest my case. I know wrestling is supposed to be controlled, and you're supposed to have body control. But no one in the world, even the greatest acrobat that ever lived, has perfect body control. It doesn't happen. In the course of a 10-15 minute match, things happen. Exhaustion sets in. You stumble a little. Your balance is off for a second. You're at the mercy of the other person who's throwing you, and they don't do it right. I remember one time I had two people who were just simply going to beel slam me, double beel slam me through a table that had a whole bunch of glass. It was a glass table, really. And it was going to shatter, but of course it was going to shatter flat if you both do it at the same time so I can land flat. Well, guess what? One yanked me when I jumped and the other yanked me the other way and I landed sideways and got glass embedded in my arm badly enough, so I was picking it out, small pieces out, a month later. Because things happen. But at least that wasn't someone's body weight coming crashing down on me with me having no control and my foot in an odd position or whatever. So I don't know. I don't know, folks. You're going to have to rethink this a little because there's going to be more of this if you don't. Anyway, we get the big Arn Anderson, Jake the Snake, Roberts Summit, if that's what you want to call it. I'm a little disappointed, and here's why. Either you're taking COVID seriously or you're not taking it seriously. If you're not taking it seriously, God bless you, because I'm starting to not take it seriously, too, to be honest. But they were there, and both of them are elderly, and Jake has a wealth of whatever. Could you not have done this on tape? What would have made this any different if you shot it as a skit? Why'd they have to be there? So you got that. You had MJF doing a fantastic job of being a heel. Brody Lee leaving one of his minions to the wolves. And truthfully, almost everything that happened in this show was meant to whet your appetite for Double or Nothing. They did a fantastic job. They did a fantastic job of promoting this pay-per-view. Oh, Jack and Kingston is saying, could you just briefly mention the NWA thing? No, because it was a disaster. I don't know what the hell the NWA is doing with some kind of a carny town crapola. I don't know what that is. That's Billy Corrigan's ego trip. He's a maniac. Knock it off, Billy Corrigan. Show repeats or do whatever you want. I don't want to see some stupid thing that you dreamed up on an acid trip called Carnytown. What are you on, drugs? I shut it off after about 3 minutes. I'm like, what the freak is this? You want to go do a sitcom? You want to go do some kind of a whatever? Do it. Leave the wrestlers out of it. This is why I don't like Billy Corrigan. Anyway, so as far as the Moxley thing with Brody Lee, also we saw, you know, Ty Dillinger challenge Dustin. We already know what's happening with Lance Archer and Cody Rhodes. We already know everything is in place for a great pay-per-view, and they did a fantastic job of a go-home show. The only thing they didn't do is they didn't protect their workers enough during that show, and you ended up with 3 injuries. Now, you put on a show week after week after week with no injuries, and then your go-home show has to be so amped up that you end up with 3 injuries. You're going to have to ask some questions here, guys. But Todd, I thought it was an excellent show overall.
You're absolutely right there. Like you said, that spot with Arn Anderson and Jake the Snake Roberts was just terrible. And like you said, with the Moxley and that guy 10, That was not a bad spot right there with the chair on the arm, the chair, hit the other chair, the arm underneath it, made it look good.
And Brody Lee leaves him to dry because he told him, I'm going to break his arm unless you come in here. Oh, well, too bad, break his arm. Now, Derek is saying, can you explain the Nia Jax thing, saying that she's not as bad as some with this? Yeah, I'll explain it. Nia Jax has injured a lot of people, more than Nyla Rose, certainly, or anybody in AEW. But the extent of those injuries, while some of them were concussions, and some of them were, you know, a torn muscle, none of those would have resulted in a fatality or probably a career-ending injury, because it's the difference between me saying, look, I'm going to throw you over the top rope and I'm not too careful with you, and you land on your shoulder and you break your arm because I wasn't careful. That's a bad injury, and it's my fault. But if I say, look, I'm going to take this ball bat and hit you in the head, but don't worry because I'm going to pull up and hit you with my knuckles, and I just hit you in the back of the head with a ball bat and you're forever paralyzed, well, that's worse. Okay? And when you throw your body weight around and you're so much heavier than someone else, think of this. Let's say you're 150 pounds. Would you ever consider, even if you're an expert and you did it 400 times, in a row correctly, would you ever consider lying an infant baby on the ground and jumping off the sofa with a corkscrew plancha? No. Why, if you're so good at it? Because if I miss, I'll kill her. Exactly. Exactly. You have to take your body weight into consideration and say, this particular move on someone this light is probably not a great idea. So let's just not do it. We can do something else that looks just as bad, but isn't as risky. Nia Jax is careless. Punching Becky Lynch dead in the face, there's no excuse for it. It's just untrained and careless. But if, let's say, I don't know, Vader says, I'm going to the top rope and do a moonsault on, you know, Drake Maverick. Okay, well, Vader might have been good enough to do that, and Drake Maverick wouldn't even felt it. But let's just say, for sake of argument, Vader slips and his knees come down on Drake Maverick's chest. He could kill him. Now let's say Vader does that to The Undertaker or Batista. It's not going to kill him. It might hurt him, it's not going to kill him. Because the body weight differential isn't enough. That's what I mean. You have to take your body weight differential into consideration and say, I can't throw this person as hard as I'd throw somebody my own weight. I can't land on this person as hard as I'd land on somebody my own weight. Some people work stiff. You got to lighten up a little bit, or you got to take certain moves out of your set and say, I'm not going to do this because technically it's just too high risk. I used to do a senton bomb as a finisher. But if I had somebody laying there, and I could do it well, and you don't, you know, you barely touch the person if you do it right. But I would think, well, if I have a person, I would never do it to, like, you know, there was a gimmick where you say, oh, you're gonna do it to this manageress. She's all of 100 pounds. I said, no, I'm not gonna do it. It's not because I don't trust myself. It's not because I don't think I can. It's because if some stupid thing happens, and my foot gets caught, or I fall or something, and I land on her, and I break her ribs, or worse, I'm just not willing to do it. I'm just not willing to do it. I'm not willing to take that risk. And I think that that's what some people are going to have to reconsider here. It's why there are weight classifications. Why do you think there are weight classifications in boxing and MMA and everything else? If everybody was it didn't matter, then there'd be no point. A heavyweight could fight a featherweight. What's the big deal? Featherweight's quicker. Probably be able to get in a lot more punches. Yeah, but if the heavyweight gets in a really good punch, it could kill them. It could break their neck. That's why they don't do it. Wrestling's the only sport that does that, really. UFC used to in the early days. They stopped it because there were so many injuries. They have a 290-pound guy in there against a 180-pound guy. And once in a while, the 180-pound guy would win. But once in a while, the 180-pound guy would be carried out on a stretcher. You never see him again. That's why. Anyway, all things total, even with the injuries, even with one of the Young Bucks being injured, even with Ray Phoenix crashing and burning, even with Nyla Rose landing on Britt Baker and probably tearing her ACL, possibly another injury. Somebody said that it was possible Sammy Guevara picked up an injury. I didn't see it, but even with all of that, the feel of this show was very much all eyes on Double or Nothing. And the real true test of a go-home show is, did it make me want to watch the pay-per-view more, or did it keep my interest the same, or did it lessen my interest? And I have to say that my interest in seeing Double or Nothing before this show was about a 4. And now it's about a 7 or an 8. So it greatly increased it. It greatly increased it. And I think they've done an outstanding job of saying, you almost got to think Brody Lee's going to win, right? I mean, how could he lose at this point and still look like the boss and the big, you know, how could that happen? And yet, you don't think they're ready to take this off. This is a very good match because I don't know who's going to win. Maybe nobody. So I'm giving this an A. If it wasn't for the injuries, I'd probably give it an A+. If they pulled this off and everybody was fine, I'd say an A+. Thought it was a great show, Mike. What's your thoughts?
I got to give it an A as well. And look, here's the deal. The whole thing with Dustin being retired, quote, retired, end quote.
Right.
You know, that's another storyline that I want to see what happens. Because we know, we've said it about Dustin. At 52, 3 years old, he looks like he's in his 30s, all right? And you could probably get a couple more years with him in the ring. And
yeah,
so I don't expect him to stay retired. And number two, they actually did advance the storyline, that whole thing with the Hangman Page and the Young Bucks,
yes,
and the rest of them. You know, they advanced that storyline. So, I mean, we've said it before about WWE. Their go-home shows recently have not felt like go-home shows. This felt
right.
Like a go-home show.
It did. It felt like a classic go-home show, and that's why I'm giving it a high rating. Todd, what's your thoughts on AEW this week?
I would have given it an A+, but if it wasn't for the injuries, I'd give it just a plain old A.
All right, so we're all in agreement. It was a great show. Now, popping on over to NXT, and they started right out with Karrion Kross, who demolishes some dude. And then Tommaso Ciampa hits the ring. And they did a really good job, I think, of making this feel important. Whereas you really want to see this. I mean, the WWE would usually just screw this up and you say, oh, well, Karrion Kross is not losing. He just came in. You think he's losing to Tommaso Ciampa? He's not. So what's the point of even having this match? We already know who's going to win. NXT does a better job of blurring those lines where you say, I don't know. I don't know about this. I don't see them throwing Ciampa to the lions. I just don't. So I don't see them throwing Karrion Kross to the lions either, but there's going to be some contributing factor here. I don't think this is a one and done. In other words, I think you're going to see more than one match out of this. I'm actually looking forward to it. So they did a good job of the opening. Now, as far as the rest of the show is concerned, there were some good parts in this show. Again, the main thing is the Drake Maverick stuff, which gets weirder and weirder and weirder by the week. You have got to be thinking that he's not really fired, because I just have never seen the WWE promote someone. If there was an audience, Drake Maverick would be the most popular wrestler in NXT right now. because he'd be the one who's getting the most sympathy and crowd support. I'm telling you, if there was an audience, they would be blowing the roof off the building for him because he's that good at getting that sympathetic factor. He's that good at his acting and facial expressions and body language and everything. He would be over like nobody's business. Don't believe that a federation who's putting this guy over like this is getting rid of him. I don't believe it. So the ultimate conclusion to this is what? It's a three-man match now to determine the winner of this tournament. And he's going to lose and say, oh, well, I tried my best. I'm fired by. And that gets WWE what? What's the payoff there? There isn't one. That doesn't even make any sense. It's not going to happen. Excuse me. And if it does happen, it's got to be the stupidest thing I've ever heard of. If it does happen, it's a gimmick. He's coming back. There's no way he's fired. Because there's no way that you put a guy over like this week after week. He's in there with Kushida. Kushida's killing him for a while. But he refuses to submit. No, no, no. He's begging the referee, do not stop the match. Do not stop the match. Because at one point it was so one-sided, the referee's like, I'm going to stop the match. And then he does that little rollover, gets the pin, and come on, man. There's no way this story ends with him losing. If it does, it's got to be the worst story anybody ever wrote. This is a very weird thing because the WWE has no way out of this. If they fire him, everyone's going to say, man, oh, man, did you give the middle finger to the fans? Man, oh, man, did you tease what could have been and then said, F you, fans. We were just using him until his, you know, we weren't paying him anymore. And fans are going to be upset. Or it's going to be revealed, no, we rehired him and we decided to run with him. And then fans are going to say, and you used the firing where real people got fired and lost their livelihood. You used it as an angle. Either way, WWE is going to come out of this, Mike, looking like complete and total idiots.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this isn't the first time they would be looking like this. And it probably wouldn't be the last time they'd be looking like this. Well, I mean, it'd be different reasons. But, yeah, they have a habit of painting them. This is them painting themselves into a corner of you know, where they cannot get out. They just simply cannot get out, you know. I mean, think about it. What they got on one side, you got the firing. You fire the guy. On the other side, you're promoting this guy. And there's only one ending to this story, right?
You would think.
Yeah. I mean, that's the ending. I mean, what you just said is the ending, you know? And so how can it not be the ending? Now, knowing the WWE and how they operate, now this is not the WWE, this is NXT. And generally speaking, they give the fans what they think what the fans think they're going to give them, you know? That's NXT. This isn't the WWE where If this was happening in the Raw, SmackDown, or whatever, you know, Raw, SmackDown, we wouldn't be seeing this way, you know.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's a bizarre thing, and I don't know. They've got me real confused on it, which is good, I guess. But I just don't see a good ending. That's my problem. Either way. Drake Maverick loses and he's gone. Bad ending. Fans are going to be upset. Drake Maverick wins and it's revealed he was rehired or never really fired. Not good, because fans are going to be mad and say, how dare you use real life situation like firing that affected people's lives as an angle for your stupid wrestling federation. It could actually adversely affect Drake Maverick, because they're going to say, you went along with it, so you're a creepy little whatever. I don't know. I don't know how that's going to work. We got a little interaction with Mia Yim and the Garganos, which of course brought out Keith Lee. That's his real life girlfriend, I guess. And we're going to get obviously some mixed tag stuff there, I guess, is where that's going. All in all, and of course we get Undisputed Era out with the Velveteen Dream and the whole thing, which was good. I guess Velveteen Dream is just, they've just forgotten about this charge of possibly soliciting underage girls or sending salacious pictures to underage girls. I guess they've forgotten about it. I guess the police have just said, who cares? Because I've not heard a word. Not a word. I haven't heard they lied. I haven't heard, yeah, they told the truth. I haven't heard, yeah, we're investigating it. I haven't heard, well, this is still pending. I've heard nothing. It's just like it didn't exist. It just came and went. Reminder, by the way, that James Ellsworth did the same thing and was fired and blacklisted from virtually every wrestling federation I know of. If Velveteen Dream is guilty. Now, Velveteen Dream says he's not. But Ellsworth clearly was. And he was instantaneously fired and instantaneously blacklisted from virtually everywhere. So that's bizarre. Really bizarre. Roderick Strong getting the win was a little bizarre, too. I mean, I don't know. I don't know where they're going with that. And then, of course, Charlotte Flair, because what is a WWE or NXT event if Charlotte Flair isn't there? Someone has told them that Charlotte Flair equals ratings. I just don't know who that someone is. I just don't know. Now, I think Rhea Ripley's stock is dropping a little bit, and I'll tell you why. Because she don't know how to be a heel, and she don't know how to be a face. She just knows how to be a tweener. Half the match, she looked like a heel to me. She was yelling at the referee, and she was this, and I was like, what the hell is she doing? I thought she's supposed to be somewhat of a face. And then Charlotte comes in and does the old beat down, and you're like, I guess she is a face. I don't know. I don't know what's going on with Rhea Ripley. She better make up her mind and act accordingly. Because her character's losing its steam because of that. You don't know whether to get behind her or root against her. You got to do one or the other. But the whole Charlotte Flair at the end thing, well, where is this leading to? A three-way, I guess? I don't know. I get that Charlotte Flair is, what's the right word for it? I get that Charlotte Flair is someone they can rely on. But wow. Are you overfeeding us, Charlotte Flair, or not? Now, you can say all you want. Well, they're giving her the world on a silver platter because they're afraid she's going to go to AEW. But Vince McMahon has issued a statement that he does not care anymore. He said, I do not consider AEW to be legitimate competition for the WWE. And if these other people want to go to AEW, let them go. And it's been evidenced because Drew Gulak could do it tomorrow. And he might. So that's not his thing anymore. Vince has said, if you want to go to AEW, go. He feels John Moxley leaving didn't hurt him, and that was a big name. He feels that Chris Jericho being over there didn't hurt him, and that's a huge name. He sees Brody Lee over there, and he doesn't see any super increased ratings, and he's saying it's not helping them. Jack Swagger's over there. Brody Lee's over there. That's not helping them. So, fine. You want to go ahead and get yourself, Drew Gulak? Go ahead. It's not going to help you. Matt Hardy's over there. They don't see that increased rating. In other words, they're saying, yeah, you're still beating NXT, but your numbers aren't increasing. It's not like, oh, Matt Hardy went over there, and Brody Lee went over there, and now we're seeing another 150,000 people a week. No, you're not seeing that. You're not seeing. It's maintaining its normal viewership. So Vince is seeing that, saying these guys aren't helping or hurting. They're just a non-factor. So if they want to go, let them go. And he might be smart in doing that because Tony Khan can't hire everybody. And he doesn't want his federation to end up being WWE leftovers either, where everybody just says, well, that's all they have. Because then you become WCW and you see what happens. So they're not going to do that either. At some point, they're going to be full up on their roster and say, look, we don't want every leftover from WWE, even if they're really good. Because we're just going to look like that's all we do is snatch the leftovers. So NXT, for what it was, I thought was a very good start, a very strong start. Very strong. We had Damian Priest who issued a challenge. I'm not a big fan of his. I don't know. I never take him as a serious threat to anybody anymore because he never wins. Very seldom wins. Overall, I thought it was a really good show, though. I thought you could give this show an A and not be partisan. I mean, there were some great matches. There was furthering of storylines. I really think the Tommaso Ciampa thing with Karrion Kross reminded me of just old school wrestling where I'm like, man, they're really making you want to see this. So I was very happy overall with NXT. I do think they're overplaying the Charlotte Flair hand a little bit. And for that reason, I can't really give it an A plus. I guess I'm not even really going to give it an A. I'm going to give it a B plus, Mike. I think it was real good, and I think I'm giving the AEW slightly higher because it was a go-home show, and they acted like it. This obviously wasn't, and, you know, it was a little, I think it was just a little beneath AEW this week.
Right, and I got to give it a B-plus as well, but here's the deal. You mentioned, well, he doesn't care if these guys go to AEW. I guarantee you this. We know that within the next, let's say, 6 months or so, that Charlotte's contract is coming up, right?
Yeah.
You know, and I guarantee you this. If Charlotte goes to AEW, and I think that she would be one of the few that Tony Khan would look at hiring.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
So,
well, now that Britt Baker is gone for a year, Mike, they're going to be chomping at the bit to get a big name. They need a big name for the women's division, and they need one yesterday. So they're definitely going to pull out all the stops. They're definitely going to throw money. They're definitely going to scour every single possible free agent and say, who can we get, or someone who they can lure away. They need someone, desperately need someone, because they have just lost the head of their women's division. This would be equivalent. This is equivalent to the WWE losing Becky Lynch. About the same period of time, too, probably a year. So it's odd. They both lost the faces of their women's division in the same week. The problem is the Becky Lynch story is a happy one that they can continue to play off of and work on. The Britt Baker one is not a happy one, and they need someone post-haste to get in there and replace her. Whereas the WWE, they have Asuka. They have Charlotte. They have Sasha. They have Bayley. Those are still big names. And, you know, they got Shayna Baszler on the back burner a little bit, but she's advancing. So they do have some cover for Becky Lynch not being there. I don't necessarily think AEW has a lot of cover for Britt Baker not being there. So they're going to have to go out and get somebody, and I don't know who's available, but they're going to throw some decent money. They're going to throw some decent offers out. And Charlotte's contract coming up or not, they got to be on the hunt for a name, especially now. So that'll be interesting. Todd, what's your rating for NXT this week?
I'm going to give it a B plus as well.
Okay. Now, Derek is saying Tessa Blanchard probably too toxic with her past racism. Probably, yeah. Probably. Now, Rachel Ellering, I guess, is available. She's gone from NXT, but she's injured. I think she's just maybe coming off of her injury or about to come off of her injury, but she's gone. But I don't even think she's a big enough name. They need a name. They desperately need a name. Mike brought up a good point. They could throw a lot of money at Charlotte Flair, because I'm telling you right now, that's what they need. They need that marquee women's name that you say, oh my God, AEW's got that person. That's going to be big. And the only two or three people I could think of that would carry that kind of weight would be Becky, and that ain't happening, obviously. Charlotte, and that doesn't look like that's happening. Maybe Sasha Banks. Maybe. That would be about it. Maybe they should just go get Nia Jax and have Nia Jax and Nyla Rose just have a botch fest together. That would be great, right? No holds barred. See what happens. I don't know. All I know is it was a good week for wrestling, except for this NWA thing, which I will briefly mention. I don't know if anybody's seen it. I don't know what the hell it is. It's called Carny Town, and it starts out as if it's going to be some kind of a alternate reality show where the wrestlers play themselves, but in an alternate universe where I don't know what the hell it's supposed to be. Something dreamed up by Billy Corgan on an acid trip, obviously. And it started out with the announcer saying, in the normal universe, I'm known as, I don't know what the hell it is. And then they just start telling stories on the road where, you know, Nick Aldis told a story about almost being arrested for skipping out on a hotel bill he thought was covered by a promoter. And I don't know what the hell this is, but it's not entertaining and it's no bloody good. So knock it off. Get back to wrestling. You lost Ricky Starks already now because, you know, he wants to go where he can wrestle. And some places are wrestling. Now, you guys have the benefit, I believe, of taping down in Georgia, Atlanta, Georgia, right? Atlanta, Georgia's open, my friends. It's open. Freaking wrestle. Because you could say all you want. We miss it so much. We can't wait to get back. Then come. Georgia's saying you can go ahead and do it. Do it. You don't want to have a lot of fans? Don't have the fans. But my God, you should be able to get some of the wrestlers together. Because being a part of Billy Corgan's bizarre little fantasy land thing, this is detrimental to NWA. This is not what I want to see. This is exactly why I turned off other shows and said, let me go watch NWA for some old school. And now instead of this old school, Mike, they're coming right into this alternate reality crapola that who the hell wants to see this?
Right. And that's the thing. Who wants to see it? I didn't even know they did another show. I mean, you know, they did. I saw the one they did with, you know, the one with, I'm blanking on her name now. That was, they did one of the women that they did it with. But yeah, I just don't get it. They were going good. And obviously you can do this stuff. All right. You know, you can right now. You can. Georgia's open. Go
right.
And film at, I don't know if it's called Center Stage now, but go and film at that building. If you don't want to let fans in, basically, you're not, it's not like you're trying to fill up a gym where you're trying to fill up, you know, the whole around the ring. They only fill up about 200, you know, 300 seats. Maybe.
Even if, Mike, even if they did this, even if they said we're having one match, then there's going to be no fans, but we're having one match. And then we'll get everything, you know, cleaned up and put the different ring skirts on and different ring ropes and everything else, and then we'll have another match. And we'll get two matches a week, and we'll just let them be longer matches, and we'll fill it in with interviews and segments done on, you know, via satellite and whatever. That would be enough. Go ahead and do that if you got to, but don't give us some ridiculous corny town. I don't even know what the hell it is. I don't even know what the hell it is. But it's just going to be an excuse for Billy Corgan to say, I have an idea because I'm an artist of this alternate reality. I don't want to hear it, Billy. I don't want to hear it. You're in a professional wrestling. Wrestle or don't. Okay? I don't want to hear the other crapola. At least have features on each wrestler then or something, you know, whatever you got to do. But let's not go crazy with alternate reality television shows and plots for future whatever that you think you've dreamed up as a script writer. Please. Please don't do that. Because I hate to break it to you. I hate to be the guy to break it to you. But you're not as talented as you think you are. Your band was okay. Your wrestling character when you were on Impact was horrible, horrible, one of the worst ever. And I really thought you learned your lesson and said, I'm just going to be behind the scenes guy in NWA and because I like wrestling and I'm keep myself out of it as much as possible. And now the first opportunity comes along, you're like, I have an artistic vision. Oh, please leave your artistic vision on the goddamn desk of your house and wrestle or don't. But anyway, a really good week for wrestling fans. If you are a fan of NXT and AEW, I think you saw two Dynamite shows. I really do. I really do. And it's just it's a matter of preference. It's like pizza, you know? Do you prefer this pizzeria or that pizzeria? Well, it's still pizza. And it's still good. And now it's just a matter of preference. Did you prefer AEW style over NXTs? Did you prefer NXTs over AEWs? It's really a matter of your own choice. This week I enjoyed AEW a little bit more. But just a little bit, because I really, if I had to pick one moment that I said was the best moment, it was the opening of NXT. The opening of NXT was a great moment. It actually gave me that goose flesh that, you know, Mick Foley sometimes talks about in pro wrestling where you're like, ooh, this is going to be good. I didn't get any of that from AEW. So that was the best moment. But AEW was way more consistent, Todd. So I thought that AEW was just slightly better.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. It was way better this week than was better than NXT, actually. Like you said, with back to the Billy Corgan thing, like when I saw that Carney Town crap.
Oh, you saw it too, yeah.
Yeah, like it reminds me of a little variety show, like stupid and ridiculous. It reminds me of that show on.
It was terrible, Todd. I don't know what the hell kind of a deal it was, but it was, I don't know what to say. You know, what more can you say? Go watch it for yourself and you'll see. It's just, it's not good. Not good at all. Now, somebody asked me, am I going to address the comments that Jim Cornette made on Becky Lynch, which weren't very nice. No, I'm not. Jim Cornette's an idiot. Okay, the sooner you recognize that Jim Cornette is an idiot, the better off you'll be if you're a wrestling fan. I'm not saying he doesn't know some things about wrestling. You can't be in the business as long as he is and not know anything about wrestling. But he's an idiot. He's a self-serving, self-promoting, loudmouth idiot, and he's obnoxious and he's hypocritical. And I don't take anything he says as serious at all. And I'm sure Becky Lynch don't give a damn what he has to say either, Mike.
Yeah, to tell you the truth, I wouldn't care either, you know. I mean, we know that once Becky Lynch has her baby, now there's been rumors about this being a gimmick or whatever, but once she has, let's just say for the sake of argument, the baby thing is real, okay? Once she has her baby, and then whatever she decides to do, and she decides to get back in shape, you know, you're not going to tell me that Vince isn't going to welcome her back with open arms.
Oh, no, that's the plan, I'm sure. I mean, that's the plan. It's just if she wants to come back, that's the plan. But I just, you know, I think people put too much stock in what Cornette says because I think 90% of what he says he does for impact and ratings on his show. I don't even think he believes what he says 90% of the time. Anyway, let's see what we got in store for SmackDown tonight. We got AJ Styles versus Nakamura. I'm looking forward to this. I'm really looking forward to seeing how this works out. And we'll be back here on Sunday.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio.